Good morning.
Good morning.
If you are with us and you are a mother, we have, of course, pink carnations that have been put together with a note attached to them, and we've had those in the foyer. I have some young men up here. Are there any mothers who did not receive one of these? And we will. Would you help me with that? I'm going to have these guys walk around. If you did not receive one of these, I know we have one here in the center. Just raise your hand. We'll get one of these to you. We would like to honor our mothers today in this way, and so we have these for you that have been prepared. We want to make sure everyone received one. I also want to remind you, I know we have a number of you who are, you blessed your mother by coming and being with us today, and I know that's made her day. If you are visiting with us, just a reminder, our Welcome Center, as you exit to the left, we have a number of pieces of information there we prepared just for visitors, and so if you are visiting with us, be sure and stop by there on your way out and pick up some of those items. Being a mother is not exactly an easy job, and I want to share with you Mrs. Monroe, a mother from Maryland, Darlington, Maryland. She's a mother of 8 children. She comes home one afternoon from the grocery store. She walks into her home, and everything looked pretty much the same, though it was a little bit quieter than usual. She looked into the middle of the living room, and 5 of her darling children were sitting around in a circle, exceedingly quiet, doing something with something in the middle of the circle. So she puts down her sacks of groceries. She walks over closely and looks, and she sees they are playing with 5 of the cutest skunks you can imagine. And she's instantly terrified, and she says, "Run, children, run." And each child grabbed a skunk and ran in 5 different directions. And she is beside herself, and she screams louder, more frantically, with greater gusto. And it so scared the children that each one squeezed his skunk. And as you may know, skunks don't like to be squeezed. It's not easy being a mother. And Scripture tells us, honor your father and mother. And so today we want to honor our mothers together. And I want to share with you 3 characteristics of mothers and how those same characteristics are actually qualities of our God, our Creator, who has made us in His image. And we'll start with the first one. Mothers are loving. We learn at a young age about love. We receive love from our mothers at a young age, generally. And as we grow, our mothers are usually our biggest fans. They believe the best about us. They go to great lengths to show love to us. And as an example, in my home growing up, around Christmas time, my parents would do the typical thing in arranging different presents and gifts and different traditions that we have around Christmas time. And in my family, my dad is he's the penny pincher. He's the one that's tight with money. He watches the money. He worries about money. And he doesn't spend much money, and he doesn't need much. And so he's the pincher. And mom's the spender. And she's the one that, you know, if she sees it, she wants to get it. And so around Christmas time, I don't know that they had any of these discussions, but I know they had these discussions where dad would say, you know, "Haven't you gotten the kids enough? I mean, that's enough, right? Oh, no, I just want to get them this right here." I know that happened. And so it's interesting that now in my family, with Stephanie and I, it's kind of a similar deal around Christmas time. She's gotten them all kinds of things, and she'll call me and say, I'm at the store, and I found this, and I want to get these for the girls. And I say, that's enough, right? They already have enough. They have enough. They have too much. But I want to get it. I still want to get it. And so mothers want to give love, and we see love in them. And a mother's love, because they were made in the image of God, she loves like none other. That's why. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, if you want to turn to 1 Timothy 6:17, we see something about our God regarding love and how He wants to treat us and what He wants to give to us. 1 Timothy 6:17, we read, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment." We serve a God who is a giver. God loves. God gives. God rewards. And we see that same characteristic in our mothers. In Malachi 3:10, another passage says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it." It's interesting. We serve a God who has so much, and I don't just mean money. I don't mean, not really talking about finances, but God has so much. He says, "I have more to give you than you could handle." But He wants to give it. He wants to bless us. And we see that characteristic in our mothers. We also see in our mothers at our worst times. Where's your mother? At a child's worst time, generally their mother is there standing next to them. We see Jesus in His life, in His darkest hour, when Jesus is tried and crucified. Remember that His disciples, His apostles in the garden fled, all of them. We see on the cross, we see some people near Jesus. We see a list of people who are near Jesus. And notice the first person named who is near Jesus when He's on the cross is His mother. At our worst times, our mother is there still loving. And in Scripture we find that that's because they come from a God who loves that way. Psalm 48:9 says, "Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love." God's love doesn't fail. God's favor may change depending on how we treat Him, but His love never fails. And then we have this Psalm 136. You should turn to Psalm 136. It's a unique psalm. Psalm 136. Verse 1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." And every verse in this psalm, verse 2, "Give thanks to the God of gods, His love endures forever." Every verse of this psalm ends with the words, "His love endures forever." That's the kind of God we serve. And it's beautiful to see that quality in our mothers who were made in God's image. Secondly, mothers are compassionate. If you need someone to sympathize with you, there's no one quite like a mother. I remember the evening here, I think it was a Wednesday evening, and Sydney was about 5 years old, and a few of us are still left here after church or after class on a Wednesday evening, and someone says that Sydney has hit her head, and she's bleeding. And so when I hear this, my next question is, where is she? And so she's in the kitchen, and some ladies are there with her, helping her. And so I find out about the same time Stephanie finds out, your child's injured, she's bleeding, she's in the kitchen. And so I remember going to the kitchen, and I remember almost getting ran over and knocked down to the ground. Because mom's going to get there quicker than I am, right? When my child is in, it's the same thing in our home. When your kid gets hurt at home and you hear them cry, every cry is different. You can hear a cry that's just, "Wah, I'm tired and I didn't get my way." And then you can hear a cry where, my child is injured and hurt. And when that happens, I usually make my way to wherever the child is, what's going on. And I usually get ran over by mom, who will knock me out of the way. She needs to be there now. I'm going to get there. I'll check on them. But that's how mothers are. They have a compassion about them that is unmatched by any of the rest of us. And so we see about God that in 1 Thessalonians 2:7, Paul says we were gentle among you like a mother caring for her little children. We see this as it's a principle that's just a given in humanity. Mothers care for children unlike any other. They show that kind of compassion. And we see in Exodus that that compassion comes from God. And he passed in front of Moses, God did, proclaiming the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. You have this phrase, compassionate and gracious God. And we see this phrase also in Nehemiah. We see it in Psalms 5 different times. We see it in Joel. We see it in Jonah. We see it 9 times in the Old Testament, this same exact wording. Compassionate and gracious God. Those are hallmark qualities of our God. That's the way He is. A writer, Kate Sampieri, once said, "Before becoming a mother, I had 100 theories on how to bring up children. Now I have 7 children and only one theory. Love them. Especially when they least deserve to be loved." Mothers are compassionate because they were made in the image of a compassionate God. We see also that mothers are comforting. If you can remember a time maybe when you were young and when you needed comfort, there's nothing quite like the arms of a mother for comfort, is there? I remember once when I was a child and I was injured and we needed to go to the emergency room, and we were playing in the yard and I had ran into our bird bath, but I was on the ground, so in getting up I jumped up and hit face first into our bird bath and wound up getting 9 stitches over my eye. And when I hit that and of course staggered back, I immediately put my hand over my eye where I was injured. And I pulled it back and I see blood and I put it back. And I tell Eric, my brother, he's 5 years older than I am, I'm bleeding. And I'm about 8 years old at the time, maybe 9. And he, like a typical brother, "Oh, you're not either, you're fine." He's afraid he's going to get in trouble. And so you're fine. He pulls my hand, "Oh, you are bleeding." And he steps back. That's what brothers do. You're injured. "Hey, I was barely even here, you know." He steps back. So I stagger in the house. And I, dad looks at it. And you know how dads are. "Okay, well, let's go. Come on in here to the bathroom. We're going to get a wash rag or something." Mom looks at it. And mom's hold. You know, mom's hug. Mother's comfort. A brother runs. Right? A dad is calm. "Well, let's see. What are we going to need to do here?" But a mother holds. I remember, and then I remember 2 things later with pertaining to my mom and dad. I remember the trip to the emergency room and sitting in my mom's lap in the front seat while dad drives. I'm sure no one was wearing a seatbelt. You remember those glorious days? And I just remember mom holding me as we're going to the emergency room. And then I remember, that's what I remember about mom. And what I remember about dad was in the bathroom afterwards, you know, the next day when it's time to dress the wound and taking it off and looking at it, you know, dad and his curiosity of seeing this wound of my son. And let's see how it looks, boy. Let's see. Let's take this off. That's what dads do. But mother's comfort. And Isaiah 66:13 says, "As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem." As a mother comforts her child. Don't misunderstand something. God doesn't comfort like mothers. Mothers comfort like God. We're made in the image of God, and in God's image, mothers were made uniquely. And mothers comfort like God comforts. In fact, 2 Corinthians tells us, "Praise be to God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. God will hold you and will tell you it's going to be okay. I'm not saying God speaking to you. I'm saying our God, when we pray to Him and turn to Him, in His way, having His Spirit in you as a child of God, God will hold, God will comfort. And is there anything greater than our God saying, and you know that God is saying, it will be okay, child of mine. Mothers are great because their Creator is great. And they're made in His image. I want to share one more story with you. This is regarding the benefits of something called kangaroo mother care. It's been around for a few years. But I want to read this to you. It's when a mother of a newborn in particular, when a newborn needs extra care, also in particular, and may need to be in the incubator, may be born prematurely, what have you. But if a newborn is struggling, it's unique how they will utilize the mother and place that child on the mother, skin to skin, and then a blanket over both. It's called kangaroo mother care. It is superior at regulating the baby's temperature, the baby's heart rate, the baby's respirations, lowering infection rates, and improving brain maturation. And this occurs, brain maturation occurs, or is promoted when the baby is in a deep sleep. It's a state rarely achieved in the incubator, but consistently experienced with this method. When this was first introduced in Bogota, Colombia, the infant mortality rate dropped 70% in the first year. If a baby is cold, if their temperature is too low, when placed in this position, the mother's body temperature will shoot up rapidly to warm the baby. Once the baby's temperature normalizes, the mother's body temperature will return to normal in order to stabilize the baby's temperature. Researchers have also found that a mother of twins can have both babies laying on her in this way. And if the babies have different body temperature needs, maybe one's normal and one's cold, that side of the mother will warm that baby. Talk about dual climate control. Now that amazes me. There's no other time that a mother's body temperature will do that rapidly for that purpose. There are things about mothers that we don't even know yet that God designed them. Amen. And I would say that of every part of God's creation, the most amazing thing God ever made was a mother. And so this morning we praise God, first and foremost, and second only to that, we want to honor our mothers today. This morning we're going to sing a song in just a moment, just a song of encouragement. There may be one here. You may be here this morning and have great struggle in your life. There may be a great burden that you're carrying. Now, no burden is greater than that of your sins. And you may be here this morning, and truly what you need right now is to have your sins washed away. It may be that you need us to pray for you. If there is a need, we'd ask that you come while we stand and sing.
When upon my pillow your hands fall, when you are disturbed and thinking all those flaws, count your many blessings, ain't them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord will have done. Count your blessings, ain't them one by one, count your blessings, see what your God hath done. Every dark devil flies.
took my burden alone.